Hey, everybody. Future Roger here. And today I'm bringing you a bonus episode of the podcast, trying something completely different, something I've never done before, but was suggested to me by a couple of different listeners. And it's something I wanted to try coming into 2019 just to spice up the format of the show. So today I'm going to bring you a live cook through of one of my all-time favorite recipes, that great Northern Italian rice dish, risotto a la Milanese. Now, I'm going to include the recipe for what I'm cooking in the show notes, and we're going to use episode 128 for that. So if you go to kitchencounterpodcast.com/128, you'll get to the show notes for the episode where you can find my recipe for my version of risotto a la Milanese. But the idea with this particular show is I'm cooking unedited from beginning to end, a complete recipe. So theoretically, you could cook along with me if you had the recipe. And the idea being I'm timing it and I go through it. And at the end, I've done all the steps that it actually takes to make the recipe. No camera trickery or editing out time lapses and things like that. So you're going to have a completely live, unedited. Actually, that's not even 100% true. There was a moment towards the beginning when one of my cats jumped up on the counter to, you know, snoop and see what I was doing, and I had to shoo her off, and I did edit that part out. So feel free to add back in your own cat jumping on the counter sound effects wherever you want. But the rest of it, unedited. And I did learn a couple of things doing this. One, it's really, really tricky to fill time unedited when you know you can't stop and do a retake or look anything up in your notes. You just kind of got to run with it. So I think that probably comes through, but hopefully I'm still delivering you lots of interesting facts and tips for making this dish. And some of you I know want me to do video. Now, you know, this is an audio podcast show, so I'm trying to stick within those parameters. I want you to participate in your own mind with me making this dish. And I think when you watch a video, sometimes you just kind of take for granted that you're not really participating in the conversation when you're watching a video like you do when you're listening to a podcast. That's reason number one. Reason number two is video takes a lot more work. And if I switch to doing any sort of video stuff, I'd probably never get any podcast episodes out. So this is a good compromise to kind of do a live cook through. And I wanted to see how it worked and if it could be done. Now, I know I probably forgot to mention a lot of things during the actual recording, but there is one thing I wanted to circle back to and mention here right at the beginning. And when I talk about saffron, which is one of the things that make risotto a la Milanese what it is, the saffron, I wanted to mention that when you're going to buy your saffron, avoid the stuff that comes in powdered form. Always try to find the whole thread saffron. It's going to be better quality, less likely to be adulterated with other types of spices, probably a more pure product. And it's just a lot more fun to work with, in my opinion. So when you're looking for saffron, please try to find the whole thread saffron. And I'll put a couple of links in the show notes to places you can buy it online if you're unable to get it locally or you just want to find a good source right away. All right, I think I won't go on and on now. I'm going to turn it right over to Past Roger to walk through the cooking of risotto a la Milanese. If you like this episode, if you like this kind of a format, I would be happy to do a few more in the future, but you have to let me know. You can send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com or send me a note on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast. Let me know what you think, and we'll go from there. All right, everybody, enjoy this bonus episode of the show. Hey, everybody, Roger here with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. And for today's episode, I'm going to be cooking up a batch of risotto a la Milanese. So I'm going to walk through that from beginning to end. And I will be putting the recipe on the show notes, which I'm sure future Roger will have recorded information on that at the beginning of the episode. So go back and check that out if you missed it. But I'll try to include some pictures and some show notes as I'm going through this live. Now, I'm going to start out by going over the ingredients and the equipment we're going to need to make this. And I'm going to refrain from getting into a lot of detail about the ingredients right away because there's going to be some time where I've got to do a lot of stirring, and there's probably going to be only so much I can say about stirring, and we'll get into some of the other stuff at that time. Okay? All right, so what do we need to make risotto alla Milanese? By the way, sometimes I call it risotto, so you say risotto, I say risotto, whatever. Just keep that in mind if I switch. It's just the way I do it. So risotto alla Milanese, what we're going to be using to make that today. Equipment-wise, you're going to need a medium-size saucepan or a small saucepan in which you're going to be heating up some stock. You're also going to be needing some skillet or a shallow, wide sauté pan or something to that effect, which you're actually going to be cooking the risotto in. You're going to need a knife, of course, to cut up our onion. That will be the only time probably you'll need to use your knife. You'll need some sort of a spoon or a spatula to do the stirring. And you will need a ladle because we're going to be transferring hot stock from one pot into the pan where the risotto is cooking. All right, the ingredient list today is as follows. Now, keep in mind, you are going to find a lot of recipes for this online, and they're all slightly different. So the great thing about risotto is you can be a little bit flexible. You don't have to be rigid and tied to exact measurements of all these things. As you make it and adapt it to the recipes and the ingredients you like, you'll probably find different ratios might work better for you. But here's what I'm working with today. Again, in the show notes will be the recipe list. I have a couple of tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. I have a small onion that I am going to dice finely. I have a cup of arborio rice, a cup of dry white wine, about a half a teaspoon of saffron threads, somewhere around 4 cups of chicken stock. You can also use beef stock. I'm using chicken today. About a half a cup or 3/4 cup, somewhere in there, shredded Parmesan cheese, a couple of tablespoons of butter, and if you have one on hand, maybe have a lemon around so you can just hit it with a dash of lemon right at the very end. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. I've cheated a little bit. I've already cut my onion in half, and now I'm going to dice it up because that is going to be the first thing that goes in my pans. Now, by the way, I should mention before I even get this far, is that I've got that chicken stock in the saucepan on the burner heating up, and you want it at a very, very low simmer, and you want to hold it there the entire time you're making the risotto, because one of the tricky things about risotto is you don't add the liquid all at once, like a traditional rice dish, or traditional method of cooking rice, I guess. So you're adding stock as you go, and it has to be hot. Otherwise, it'll just cool down everything in the pan, and it'll kind of stunt your cooking process. So you want to make sure everything's nice and hot as far as the stock goes. I'm also heating up a stainless steel sauté pan as well. Now, I like my onion finely diced for risotto. I like the onion to be about the same size or just a little bit larger than the rice itself. I don't know why that is. I don't really think it's absolutely necessary. But after I dice it off, I like to just kind of lay it down on the cutting board here and run through it a few times with my knife just to kind of, you know, get it to the size and consistency I like it in. That's a pretty small onion. That looks like about, maybe a little more than a cup of onion. All right, so that is ready to go. I'm going to go ahead and get the oil heating in my pan here. I'm just eyeballing a couple of tablespoons. Again, you don't have to be super precise with the measurements here. And it looks like my chicken stock is just about to a simmer, so this will work out perfectly. Now, the general order we're going to do this in is oil, onion, rice, and then liquids with the Parmesan cheese at the very end. There is a little bit of technique to doing these ingredients in a specific order. You obviously want to heat up the oil, and you want to get the onion in there cooking down. We're looking to sweat the onions, right? Not saute them. We want the onions to be soft but not brown. We want them to be a background player in this dish. We don't want to taste chunky, crunchy bits of onion when we eat our final dish. Okay, the onion, or the oil rather, looks like it's got a nice shimmer to it in the pan. So I'm going to go ahead and scrape the onion in there off the cutting board. Okay. Now, as I mentioned, I want the onion cooked, so I'm going to stir it up while it's cooking. This is going to take, a few minutes. You're going to kind of monitor. I'm heating this pan up, by the way, to about medium-high heat. It's the first time I'm doing this live and recording it, so I'm probably forgetting all sorts of things, or I'll say things out of order, so I apologize. But we'll get it straightened out. You listen through it, through the episode one time before you go back and cook it, maybe. Kind of like reading a recipe through one time before you give it a shot. Okay, I'm going to let the onion cook there a bit. Now, the next thing we're going to do as soon as the onion is cooked down and softened up a little bit is we're going to add in the arborio rice. And we're going to cook that in the pan for a minute or so just to make sure it gets nice and coated with oil and a little bit toasted up to lose some of that raw rice flavor. But like I said, this onions here are going to take a couple of minutes. Giving them a nice little stir here, making sure they're all getting the love and the attention that they need. Starting to get a little bit translucent. It's not even been a minute, I don't think. We'll give it a little bit more time. Now, let's talk about the rice real quick, because this is going to be the next step. Oh, actually, you know what I want to do before we get to that? Now that my chicken stock is heated up, I've put my saffron threads in a little glass bowl. And what I want to do to help them get ready to impart all their amazing flavor and color is I'm going to take a little bit of that hot stock. I'm just going to pour it over the saffron threads just to let them get moving. If you put the saffron in straight, it's not the end of the world, but this will give a little bit of broth with some rich golden color that's just going to go right in and start working its magic in your dish. I'll talk about saffron in a little bit, in a little more detail. All right, I think my onion is just about where I want it. So I'm going to go ahead and grab. So I've got a cup of arborio rice. You really need to use something like an arborio rice or a Carnaroli rice. These are really good rices for making risotto. You can't use regular like long grain or medium grain rice because it won't have the same starchy qualities, the capacity to give off starches like arborio rice does, for example. And arborio rice is very easy to find in most supermarkets, I think, now, at least in the United States. You can certainly find them online. I know Trader Joe's, and I believe World Market even carries arborio rice. But arborio rice, the more you stir it and the more you cook it, the longer it goes, the more those rice kernels rub together, those rice grains, the more starch it's going to let out, and it's going to end up with a creamier dish at the end. That's something that regular, you know, long grain rice that you get in the supermarket is not going to do. So it's important to use the right type of rice for this. So I'm just letting the arborio cook a little bit in here. Notice my dish has gone a little bit silent. That's okay. Turn the heat up just a little bit. Again, we're not trying to burn anything or change the color per se. We're just trying to give it a nice little toast to make sure all of the grains of that arborio are nice and coated in oil. Now, okay, so we've got the, we did the oil, we did the onion, and we've got the arborio rice in there right now. The next thing I'm going to do is my dry white wine. That's going to go in. I'm going to let that cook until most of it is absorbed and gone. So I'm going to get that there next. Okay. So the white wine is in as well. Putting that cooked down just a little bit. This is the tricky part of risotto, really. It's just kind of all the rapid phase here where we're putting lots of things in and cooking a lot of different things at once. But really, once we start getting into the broth part of this, it's going to be a lot of adding broth and stirring. And in fact, it's a good idea if you're having trouble keeping your broth at a consistent simmer, if it's too much, maybe put a lid on the pot just so it doesn't, you know, all cook away and you end up with like a cup less of the stock by the time you get to the end of your risotto. That wouldn't be a great outcome. Okay. I want to keep stirring this. The wine is just about cooked out of it. Now I'm going to move over to adding the broth. Now remember, I had one a little glass bowl here with my saffron threads in it that I had some warm stock poured over. I should take a picture of this because it's so golden colored already. It's pretty amazing. I'm going to go ahead and add the saffron in. In fact, I'm going to take two pictures. I'm going to take a picture of where I'm at right now, which I will share. And then I'm also going to take a picture of what it looks like after I add the saffron liquid in. It's amazing. It's so beautiful. It's just got an amazing golden hue already. And that's just going to sort of amplify as we cook it in. Okay. All right, now we're kind of onto our regular cycle of adding stock, stirring the risotto until the stock cooks down, and then adding more stock and repeating. Now, there's no specific time that we're shooting for. There's no specific amount of stock that we're shooting for. In general, you're looking probably at about 15 or 20 minutes after you add the wine before you're going to be done, or perhaps by the time you get almost to the end of 4 cups of stock, somewhere around there. But the key is really going to be tasting the risotto once you start to get near the end, because what you want, I'm just going to grab a spoon here that I'll be able to taste with later, because what you want is something that we would say al dente. So you want the rice to be cooked. You don't want hard little centers in any of the grains, but you also don't want it to be chewy or mushy. You want it to have a little bit of bite, and you want the different grains of rice at the end to be kind of still individual, still discernible, like you can still see the different grains of rice. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and add in, now that that first bit of stock is cooked down, I'm going to go ahead and add in another ladleful, and this is where we just sort of start repeating. And this ladle probably, I don't know, it's probably about a half a cup at a time of stock. So because the stock is already heated to almost a simmer, when it goes in the pan with the rest of the risotto, it just gets right up to temperature right away. It doesn't take any work really for it to start simmering in the pan. And that's what we want. We don't want to add cold stock, because then that's going to totally screw up your method for the risotto. And a word about stirring. I've seen some things say like risotto is very labor intensive. Is it labor intensive? I don't know if it's labor intensive. It certainly takes your attention, and it does take some active cooking. It's not something you can just throw all the water in and boil your rice down and come back in 15 minutes. It does take a little bit of work. But as I mentioned earlier about the arborio rice is what's going to give you its beautiful, creamy consistency. It's that the act of stirring in the broth or the stock that you're just putting in, giving it a stir. You don't have to stir constantly, but you have to watch your temperature. You don't want your pan too high, because if you walk away, your rice could start sticking and burning to the bottom, and we don't want that. So I use a silicone, kind of a spoon spatula thing that really allows me to kind of scrape the bottom of the skillet as I'm cooking. Now that half a cup of stock I just put in a second ago, well, maybe more like a minute ago, that's already cooked down. So I'm going to go ahead and put another half cup ladle full in. Oops, spill a little on the burner. And I see when I put it in that it comes right to a simmer. So I give it a stir, make sure all the rice is getting that yummy stock love. Give it a stir and I'll let that cook for a moment. Right now, my heat's about medium. And I'm probably not going to go any higher than that for the pan. So I mentioned arboreal rice is important. Carnaroli works well, less common in the U.S. at least. There's a few other varieties that would work, but really, you can't really go wrong with arboreal rice. So try to get yourself a hold of that. Now, the other ingredients worth noting, the wine, you want to shoot for a dry white wine. I generally just use, you know, we drink wine in our household. We're not winos, we don't drink that much, but we usually have a bottle or so that's been opened and it's in the fridge, and we almost always have some sort of a white wine in there. So today I just grabbed Terrapin Cellars Pinot Gris from Oregon. Great white wine. You don't need to use anything that's expensive, but you don't want to use anything that's labeled like cooking wine. Get an actual white wine. So something like a Pinot Gris or a Sauvignon Blanc would be fine for this. Give it a stir here. So, as you can see, that whole time I was talking about rice and wine, I was not stirring this. And that's not, you know, a bad thing. I don't have to stand here and get carpal tunnel stirring the risotto the whole time. But look at that. We're ready for more stock already. So, another ladle full. And, oops. And in it goes. A stir. I'm a messy cook, by the way. You can probably already tell that just by the sounds you're hearing. Okay, that's stirred in. So let's talk about the saffron then. So saffron is an amazing spice. It's rarely used, but one of the things that makes a risotto milanese, is saffron, the inclusion of saffron. Now, saffron is very hard to cultivate, very labor intensive. It comes from the stigma, the little orange reddish threads that you see when you get whole saffron spice. There's three of those in every crocus flower. So I'm going to put a picture up of about a half a teaspoon of saffron threads. I didn't count them, but that's a lot of flowers. That's a lot of hand harvesting, that is a lot of work. So it's no wonder that saffron is quite expensive. Now, luckily, saffron doesn't take, it's a spice that you don't need a lot. A little bit goes a long way, luckily. So again, here we're using about a half a teaspoon of saffron, and it's giving this risotto already an amazing golden yellow color. And saffron, the flavor, I think it's a little earthy, a little grassy, maybe not green grass, but dry grass, like hay almost, a little pungent, but it does add a very nice little quality to this dish. Paella, the Spanish rice dish, also uses saffron traditionally, so it's another place you can find it. Saffron's also been used throughout history to dye clothes, saffron colored robes, you may have heard. Okay, more stock is going in. Another half a cup. Give that a stir and splash a little onto the stovetop because sacrifice to the stove gods, I guess. Okay, and again, I'm stirring it a couple of times, really, in between broth additions. I probably should be stirring it maybe just a little bit more, but you don't have to go crazy. Like I said, you don't have to be constantly standing over your pan of risotto, but you do have to pay attention. This is not something you can get started and walk away and do other things. Okay, let's see. What else would I like to talk about? One of the really cool things about risotto, and I'm making a risotto milanese, which can be served as a main course, it can be served as a starting course. Oftentimes, you'll see it served with My absolute favorite thing to eat in the world, osso buco, which are braised veal shanks braised in wine, and usually served right over the top of a beautiful pile of risotto milanese. So this is really a fantastic dish. You don't have to go so far as to get veal shanks, but any braised meat, even chicken, would stand up very well to this. But something like a braised pork roast or braised beef is going to be amazing with this. Now, if you wanted to change it up and maybe do your own thing, you could omit the saffron and you would have a great, and you could even omit the Parmesan cheese we're going to do at the end, and you'd have a great dish that you could tweak in any way you really want to do. So for example, because the starchiness of the arborio rice really gives it a creamy texture, you could actually avoid really any animal products. If you stuck with the olive oil and you omitted things like butter or Parmesan cheese, both of which I'm going to put into mine at the end, you can cook this with vegetable stock. You could even cook this with fish stock if you wanted to. But there are ways you can make this easily vegetarian, easily vegan, and you're not going to be sacrificing much of the beautiful creaminess on this risotto. And I'm going to put another ladle of stock in. Okay. Starting to have to, my pan is getting shallow with the stock. I'm having to do a couple of ladlefuls to equal one here. Give that a stir. Starting to look pretty good. We'll be there not too much longer. But other ingredients you can put into risotto if you wanted to make it a main course. I love mushrooms. One of my favorite things to do is to grab some dried wild mushrooms, and I go ahead and reconstitute them in some warm stock or warm water. And then I take that liquid and use it much in the way I use the liquid from the saffron I did here. I'll put that into the risotto and it will infuse it with a great earthy, you know, mushroom umami flavor. And then you can use the reconstituted mushrooms. They can also go in and you'll have a wonderful mushroom risotto. My father-in-law likes to do asparagus. So he'll make a traditional risotto and then he'll add in some cooked asparagus towards the end. I also love to do things like a roasted red pepper or a roasted red pepper puree, and that can go in towards the end of the cooking. You'll have a nicely colored dish, which you could serve with a lot of different things, really. So risotto itself is really kind of a blank canvas. There's a lot of things you can put in it, but there are a couple of tips. While I'm talking, I'm putting in another ladleful. See how repetitive this is with the ladling the stock over? But it's worth it, trust me. The payoff is big. So adding other ingredients, if you're adding vegetables, it's generally a good idea to make sure they're cooked beforehand because you're going to put them in towards the end of the dish. Because if you put them in too early, you're probably going to end up with mushy vegetables. And it's just too hard to work it out. So, for example, if you wanted to put asparagus in, I would already have steamed or roasted or cooked that asparagus some way so that it can go in right near the end of cooking the risotto. And then you're not going to have, you know, mushy vegetables. The same with everything else. If you're going to put any sort of a meat in, it's going to need to be probably cooked beforehand. And you're going to add that in relatively close to the end of cooking. Shrimp, you could probably cook right in the pan because shrimp cooks so quickly if you're going to do shrimp risotto. So that's something to think about. It's really open to experimentation and interpretation. When you make it, you just kind of have to play around with it and see what works for you. All right, we have a beautiful golden colored risotto going here. Now, I'm not using a stock that's seasoned very much, so I didn't mention at the beginning, but you should know, of course, that you should have some salt on hand. I'm going to go and hit this dish with a little salt. The stock has some salt in it, and the Parmesan cheese is going to have some salt in it. So I'm getting near to where I need to taste this. I'm going to let that salt cook in a little bit. I probably Should have seasoned it a little earlier, but I got so into blabbering on here about risotto that I forgot. You know, one way also you can tell if the dish is ready for more stock, if you're wondering what it means that it's been absorbed, what I like to do is actually I like to take my spoon or my spatula, I stick the tip of it down on the bottom of the pan on one side, and I draw it across, and I kind of like part the risotto sea, if you will. And if you can see the bottom of the pan for just a split second and the liquid covers it back up, you're not ready to go. But when you pull it across, if it stays parted and the rice kind of slowly moves back together, you're good for probably another shot of broth. And you know, as you look at your rice, you should do this long enough, you do this enough times, you can get pretty good at just visually seeing when the rice is ready to go. If you can still see like distinct white centers to the grains of rice, it is not cooked through enough. And I'm looking at mine right now, and I can still see some white center. So I'm not even going to taste it yet because I know it's not ready to go. Actually, I'm going to taste it just because I want to taste the flavor here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not done. It's got a nice mild flavor. It doesn't need much more seasoning. The Parmesan cheese is definitely going to add a lot to this. Hit it with some more stock. It's very close. Now I'm trying to talk to fill in the gaps here, so hopefully I'm not just droning on and on. It's harder than you think just to talk nonstop when usually what I do at this point is I just shut up and stir my risotto. So I apologize if you're sitting there going like, man, he's just blabbering on. I feel like you don't want to sit there in silence as I'm cooking this. If you're interested in tweaking your risotto and going in different directions, like I said, there's a million recipes out on the internet. But don't overlook the value of herbs and spices. Again, if you're doing herbs, you probably want to add those in towards the end of cooking, especially if they're fresh herbs. Otherwise, they'll just get blown away if you put them into the beginning. For me, the rule of thumb is when I'm cooking anything that requires the addition of herbs or vegetables, for that matter, is the earlier you incorporate it into the dish, into the cooking process, the less distinct their individual flavors are going to be. So it's going to be like you put your herbs in at the beginning of the cooking. By the time you get done at the end of this 25-minute risotto process, they're going to have blended in. They're probably going to have imparted some flavor to the dish, but you're not going to be able to taste whatever it is that you've put in there distinctly. If you want those flavors to stand out and to be forward, those are things you want to put in, in the last minute or two, perhaps, of cooking. Just enough time to get them incorporated, cooked, impart a little bit flavor to the dish as a whole, but not recede so far into the background, kind of like our onions are going to do. You're not even going to know there's onions in this dish when we're done with it. We're getting really close now, but I'm going to put in some more stock. When I was a kid, I never had risotto in my life. It's not something my mom cooked. We're not Italian, I guess. And, when I was a kid, you didn't generally cook outside of your wheelhouse a whole lot. Some folks did. Maybe I'm generalizing in a way that isn't helpful, but my mom certainly didn't. I mean, she cooked what she knew how to cook and what her family had cooked. And we had a lot of rice dishes, and we had a particularly easy, gooey kind of a rice dish, I would call it, where you kind of put rice in a roasting dish with some sort of a protein and some sort of a soup or a cream base or something or a broth. And she would often make it with like pork tenderloin or pork chops or something like that, or even pork roast. And you'd have kind of this gooey rice dish when you were done. And you would use regular, long grain rice. Not completely dissimilar to risotto, but just not quite the same. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still love that simple dish that my mom would make. It was like the perfect wet winter night comfort food. But when I discovered risotto and making it for myself, I mean, holy smokes, it's a whole new world. It's just amazing. You know, if you're looking for a dish to impress guests, you could do a lot worse than serving up a beautiful bowl of risotto. I'm going to give it one more taste here. Okay, we're really close now. So the rice, it's firm. I didn't get any uncooked centers like I did the first time I tasted it a few minutes ago. So we're in good territory here. In fact, I think maybe one more, a ladle full of stock. Like I'm almost to the end of my stock. I probably only have one plus, a little bit more of a ladle full. Okay, so I think that is probably going to be all I need. So I want to cook that down, that last bit of stock I put in there. Now, depending on what you do to it when it's done, like there's a version of this I'll make where it's very cheesy. I'll do like a three cheese treatment. So it'll be like Parmesan cheese, maybe Asiago cheese, and then maybe I'll do something crazy like a Gruyere or a sharp white cheddar to finish it off. And the consistency will be affected when you do stuff like that. So that particular dish, when I make it, it turns out to be very, I'm trying to think of a word that doesn't sound terrible, but it's really kind of gooey, I guess. And it's still good, but traditionally a risotto, especially a risotto Milanese, should not be gooey. Like I said earlier on, each kernel of rice, each grain of rice rather, should be distinct, yet it should be a beautiful creamy consistency. And some folks would say that when you plate it, if you set it on a flat plate or like a rimmed bowl, like a shallow rimmed bowl, that the risotto should not like just run to the sides and it should not stay in a clump in which you put it, but it should slowly just kind of spread out on the plate. Kind of like lava, I guess. I don't know how else to describe that. We're almost there with this. But yeah, so depending on what you do at the end, it will affect the consistency. Now, a word I will say is when we get ready to add the Parmesan in and the butter, I want to make sure this is done and cooked through because I'm going to take it off the heat to stir that in. And the other thing I should mention about risotto is it's best served right away. It's not typically something you can make ahead of time very well. I've never had luck making risotto early or having it as a leftover. It loses a lot in the time that it sits around. So if you're going to make this where it's not a one-dish meal, where you're not adding ingredients into the risotto, it's, in my opinion, best to work with something that is completely hands-off while you're finishing the risotto, like to go back and, you know, be a broken record, something like a braised meat where it can just be taken out of the oven or whatever. It's sitting, it's resting. You don't have to do anything to it but serve it while you're finishing up your risotto dish. Okay. Okay, I'm going to give it one more taste before I call it good. Holy smokes, that's about perfect. That is al dente. It's creamy. It's a beautiful canvas. It is the most brilliant color. I'm going to take another picture here while I'm doing this because I'll put it on the show notes. I don't know if the color is coming through in the photos, but you'll just have to take my word for it. So now I'm going to go ahead and remove this from the heat. I'm going to do two things. Turn this off. I am going to stir in the Parmesan. I'm going to get that incorporated into the risotto now that it's off the heat. Okay. And I just stir it long enough. This is right by the microphone, my second microphone, so you can probably really hear this. I just stir it long enough so it has a beautiful melted sheen to it. You can't see any of the shredded Parmesan left. That's enough there. And then the last thing I like to do, and again, this is kind of optional. You don't have to do this, but You know, it's a special occasion meal, in my opinion. I take about a tablespoon or two of butter that I've had at room temperature and kind of diced into cubes, and I give that a stir into it. And though the risotto itself, without all that, is going to be beautifully creamy, this, it's just going to take it to 11. You know what I mean? It's going to be unbelievable. Okay, that is it. We are done. We have an amazing risotto alla Milanese. I'm going to take a picture of the final dish. I'm going to give that a quick taste now that it's done. Oh my gosh, it just looks amazing. It smells brilliant. That Parmesan cheese. Oh my gosh. Okay, I need to wrap this up because I think I'm going to take the whole pan of this somewhere quiet and eat it all. It is so good. Rich, creamy. It would be an amazing base for a braised meat. I hope you give this a try soon. I'll put the show notes with the recipe. I'll put the recipe in the show notes, rather, so you can check this out and try to make it for yourself. I hope you enjoyed this live cook-through demo. All right, everybody, until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Thanks for listening.